everybody. My name is Jasmine, and I'm the Walking Dead girl. I'm joined here today with my dad, also co-host.
Hi, this is Michael.
And if you're joining us for the first time, basically what this podcast is about is talking about and reviewing and discussing The Walking Dead on AMC. Right now, we are on season 2, episode 3, and it's called Save the Last One. And just a reminder, a warning, be sure to watch the episode first before you listen to this podcast because there will be spoilers.
Yeah, we have to do this because we don't want to get yelled at and stuff by our fans and people who listen. And they say, hey, you spoiled it for me. I didn't see it yet. Well, go watch it first.
I liked your impression of our fans.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Okay. In this episode, we continue with the story of our
troubled heroes.
Yeah. So they're at the farm. So let's see what's going on here.
Let's get right into it.
Yeah, we start off at the beginning of the show with
Shane. Mm-hmm. And we see him taking a shower or coming out of the shower, and he's shaving his head. And we're like, why is he shaving his head? Like, what does this symbolize? And then he looks into the mirror and he has this really, really evil look. And of course, later in the show, we find out why he shaved his head and why he has this evil look.
Yeah, we notice something different in Shane as he looks in that mirror.
I kind of feel like this episode is where we actually see who Shane really is. Like, it was building up to this point. Like, he would have become this way anyway. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it just opened up something inside. And then we go over to where Shane and Otis left off last episode, escaping the high school. And what's unique about this scene is that Rick is voiceovering that scene of talking about when Rick and Shane were younger and Shane was stealing their principal's car or something.
Yeah, well, it basically telling the story about where Shane, when he was in high school, stole the principal's car and he drove it to a chicken coop or something.
Yeah.
And let the doors open and basically put some seeds in the back seat and let the chickens eat away at the car.
Yeah. So I don't know really, like, what do you think this symbolizes? Why do you think Rick was telling that story while Shane and Otis were escaping?
Well, he was just trying to say that, you know, he drove the car all the way there and then he ran back to the high school, which was like 3 miles away, and he did that really quickly. And, you know, since he could do that, get away with stuff like that, he's definitely going to go get the medicine or whatever they need and come back in time. And I guess, you know, he was just trying to comfort Lori and say that, hey, you know, he's capable of anything or something like that.
Yeah. And of course, Lori mentioned, oh yeah, I've heard the story 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. In the next scene, we see that we go back into the RV where Carol is sleeping and Daryl can't sleep because, well, Carol's crying about Sophia being gone and Andrea's
up. It's really annoying.
Yeah, it is. I'm like, oh. And then also Andrea was like,
it's a really annoying cry because, like, Daryl's lying there. She's probably trying to sleep or something. And Carol's just in the corner, like, whimpering away. So it's like, yeah, he probably can't sleep anyway. So he's like, I got to get out of here.
Yeah. And he figures, well, we'll just go out and look for Sophia, go for a run along the roadway. And Andrea joins them. And of course, Dale is very, like, worrisome, like, be careful or don't go too far. And Andrea's like, Dale, please. And just walks away. Like, she's really annoyed about the fact that Dale actually cares about Andrea, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Dale is really worried, like, to the point where, like, he's like a worried parent.
Yeah, he's always worrying if Andrea's gonna, like, kill herself, because back, she wanted to kill herself at the CDC, right? So he's just constantly always worrying and still hasn't given her gun back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was getting on my nerves. It was like, enough already.
I know, you're not responsible for anybody but yourself. And then we
Do you think that Daryl is also kind of getting obsessed with Sophia? He's kind of obsessed with
finding her. I kind of think
so.
Yeah. I kind of get that feeling because he's like the number one supporter of finding Sophia. Like, he's always out there, always looking for her and all this stuff and not really giving up. He's the only one that hasn't given up hope of finding Sophia.
Yeah, I think he's really obsessed. I think he's trying to find
something to hold on to
Sophia for some reason. Like, he's trying to fulfill some thing inside of him.
Yeah,
You know, like, because some people have these things that keep them going, and I think he's trying to hold on to the Sophia thing just as something to keep him going.
Yeah,
because he lost his brother. He doesn't know where his brother is, and I guess he's just hoping that maybe this is trying to fill that gap. I don't know.
That's a good observation. Who knows? Yeah. And we're wondering what's happening to Shane and Otis. And then we find that they discover they're running through the school, the high school, and every mm-hmm. exit is locked. And they're being followed by a ginormous horde of walkers. And they make it to the high school gym on top of, like on the wall, like up, like on top of bleachers. And they see a window on, and that's their way out. But Otis can't fit through the window. So he makes up a plan saying,
I'll go through the window and I'll go this other way.
Yeah. And we'll meet up on the other side.
Mm-hmm. And Shane, Otis jumps.
And hurts his leg.
And then we see him being attacked by this walker who doesn't have any legs.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Doing some research, I found that walker without legs was actually a real person with amputated legs.
Really?
Yeah. They actually found a real person that had no legs.
That actually, because I was like, that looks pretty legit, man. How'd they do that?
Well, they could have used, special effects, but I guess they didn't.
Way they moved, it made it look like that was weird.
Yeah. So there's some small scenes there with some zombies, which was kind of cool.
That's cool. That's good. Fun fact.
Fun zombie facts. Yeah, so as Shane tries to go through the window, he's like trying to ease himself slowly out of the window because if he jumps...
Man, I was holding my breath this whole time.
Because he doesn't want to jump so high because he'll kill himself. So he's kind of like trying to slow himself down.
And the only thing that catches their fall is like bushes.
Yeah, so then this walker comes right through the window.
Yeah, and basically he has to fight him off whilst he's about to fall out of the window and shoots him. And then he falls and I guess he hurts his leg too.
Yeah, he hurts his leg real bad. So he's limping.
Yeah, that slows him down.
You don't
want
to be limping when zombies are chasing you.
No.
That's like the worst thing you could... Like, if you're limping, you might as well just kill yourself.
It's like, there's no point. You're just prolonging the inevitable.
You're going to get caught.
Yeah.
You can't be injured at all, especially from, like, the legs area.
Exactly. That's your most important part. Like, maybe you can go off by, like, hurting your arm, but your legs are just a goner.
If you're a good runner, you could just run as fast as you can.
And you can pretty much outrun them and even hide, and wait for them to pass. But if you're injured yourself, they're always constantly a few feet behind you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. You're not going fast enough.
Exactly. Or at least have a car. But then if you don't have no legs, it's kind of hard to drive.
But they were trying to get to the car. That's the thing. They got all the drugs and all the supplies they needed, but they wanted to get to the car. And that's the problem.
Yeah. So Glenn and T-Dog come visit the farm finally to offer help.
Yeah. So I don't know how they just ended up walking to the farm.
They drove.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But why did they decide to go and not the others?
Well, because they figured, might as well go help and see what they need. I think they were worried about Carl and Rick and stuff.
Yeah. Glenn says, should we ring the doorbell? Looks like there's people home.
And the T-Dog's, now is not the time to be considerate.
Yeah, give me a break.
And then Maggie pops out of nowhere.
So I was just sitting there on the porch.
Yeah. And Glenn is all like shy and kind of, intimidated by her.
Yeah.
You can totally tell he has a crush on her.
Yeah, and he's basically, she basically says to them, did you guys close the gate before you came in?
And lock it and all that.
Yeah, they locked it. And then she's like, let me get you some food and stuff and take care of your wound.
Yeah.
So Shane and Otis are taking a while to come back. And then Herschel...
And time is running out, basically.
Time is running out. And the only other options are basically to operate without...
Anesthetics, right? What is it called? Like, basically that drug that makes you pass out so they can operate on you?
A respirator.
A respirator, yeah, that's what they need.
Surgery equipment. The respirator, they need the respirator because I think we talked about this on the previous episode, is that, if they put him under, then they need some way to...
Help him breathe.
Yeah, help him breathe. Or else he'll, choke on himself or something. So that's why they need all that stuff.
And they're running out of time
And Herschel says, we can operate without that stuff, but...
There might be a chance that I might puncture an artery or something.
Well, it might not work.
Yeah. And we go back to Daryl and Andrea when they're looking for Sophia. And I like this one scene where Daryl's talking about a time where he was gone for 9 days, lost in the woods. And nobody was looking for him because his brother was in juvie and his dad was off with some girl. And he found his way out of the woods and just went home and grabbed a sandwich and, and talked about how he was wiping his butt with poison ivy. So he had like an itchy butt the whole time. And then Andrew was laughing at him.
Well, this basically is, we're showing Daryl's survival skills.
Yeah. And how much he really knows.
He knows what he's doing and he's like, he's a woodsman.
Yeah, basically. And I think there's a little bonding moment there because we don't really see Andrea and Daryl interact much, right?
Yeah.
This whole season. That was kind of cool.
And
then they stumble on a camp kind of thing with like a tent. And then they find the zombie that is hanging, that hung himself. And basically there's a note next onto the tree saying, oh, I got bit. The fever hit me. Just needed to take some way out. Mm-hmm. And didn't realize that you had to kill yourself in the head, shoot yourself in the head if you wanted to be dead for good.
Yeah. And he wrote a suicide note.
Yeah.
And I have it here.
Oh, wow.
I didn't write it down, but I looked it up. You can find anything on the internet. Okay. It said, got bit, fever hit, world gone to shit, might as well quit.
It's like a little poem.
In his dying moments, he wrote a little funny.
That I know, right?
And that someone would find it and like read it. Okay. That was weird.
I thought that's a little unique.
And Daryl says, hey, look, he's hanging like a piñata.
Oh my God. Yeah. The walkers got his legs.
Yeah. There was like from the waist down, it was like all bone.
Yeah.
Just bones.
Wait, so did they come and eat him when he was alive or like right soon after he hung himself?
Well, after he hung himself.
Yeah, but before he turned into a zombie?
Yeah.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, that's weird, huh? So did he turn into a zombie after he got bit, or like did he hang himself and then the zombies came and bit him? And then if he was dead already and the zombies bit him, can someone turn if they're dead? That's a good question.
I think he got bit, so then he hung himself. And then
Oh, yeah.
He died.
Of course. It says right there, got bit, fever hit.
Yeah.
He says in his note.
Yeah.
What are we trying to figure out? It's right there in his note. That's why he left a note, so we don't have to worry about how it was done.
And I think this is a kind of important scene because Andrea was just looking at him and kind of like, wow, this is disgusting. I hope I never turn out that way.
Yeah, she threw
up. Yeah.
Well, the thing is that, so as she's staring at this guy hanging there, and Daryl says to her, so you still want to kill yourself?
Exactly. And she said, well, I will tell you if you shoot this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she told him that she doesn't know if she wants to still live or not. She kind of thinks it's kind of like by habit she wants to live.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not really sure if she still wants to live. And then he's like, that's not much of an answer, and kills the walker. Takes it out of his misery.
Yeah.
So we still don't know what Andrea's feeling about the whole wanting to live thing. I think she's leaning towards more living, wanting to survive. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I especially think that this kind of helped also, you know. And then we have a really important scene where Herschel described to them that if Shane and Otis don't come back with the stuff that they need, they're going to have to go on with that operation. You need to decide if you want to go through this. So Lori and Rick have this conversation out on the porch, and she basically says that maybe it's better if Carl did die now, because I wouldn't want him in this world and want him to grow into an animal who just needs to survive. And I was like, wow, this is pretty shocking, because to Rick, Lori is his rock. And right now his rock is cracking. And she's like, well, if she wants him to die, what is going on? What made her change her mind? Because she was the one that fought for their right to choose to survive back at the CDC when they're about to blow up. And he's like dumbfounded at the fact that she just wants to give up so easily. And I think that's a problem.
I think it's a good philosophical discussion to have.
Yeah.
Because it kind of makes sense. She basically says maybe this world is not for children.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because it's too cruel and ugly.
And she says that, who was Frankie? Was Frankie the black woman?
No, maybe it was her friend from before the apocalypse.
Oh, from before the apocalypse?
Remember there was a scene where she was talking in front of the school to one of her friends? Maybe it was her. I don't know. I have no idea that was.
But anyway,
she was referring to.
Yeah, she was talking about how when something happens, she almost forgot that Frankie was dead and was just going to turn around and talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
And she realized that she was dead. And she says she never has to see that. She never has to go through what she goes through and be always afraid. Dead. Yeah. And she kind of thinks,
got out of her misery.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to witness all this stuff that happened.
And so she thinks it's better that to be dead than to live through this.
Yeah, because she says, well, okay, so let's say he lives. What is he living for?
Exactly. Just to always keep running.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good discussion to have. I mean, think about what would you do? How you feel about that?
Yeah. I would just, it's a very delicate road to walk, because you're really just hanging in the balance, because you've been ripped from something, from a normal life, having goals and aspirations and ambitions. And then when this happens, all you're trying to do is survive. And what do you do like after you survive? What is there to do? What is there to live for, basically?
Yeah. Before, you might have had, you're living for something in the future, but that future doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think it's a good it makes sense what she says, but obviously she's saying it through, like, she's crying while she's saying it. Like, she can't believe she's saying that, right?
Yeah, and Rick can't believe she's saying that. And he's asking what changed, you know?
And we'll see in the next episode why she's acting this way. Because there's another issue going on that we won't talk about yet.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll talk about it in the next episode. And then, so T-Dog is getting stitched up. And then, you know, they show basically Glenn sitting on the porch, you know, praying.
For the first time, apparently, he says.
And then Maggie comes and says, you know, what are you doing? You praying? And he says, yeah, for the first time. And she's like, well, sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, they kind of talk a little bit and they can kind of see like a connection, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a connection, but basically they're just talking about some, and then he says to her, you know, do you pray? Like, do you believe in God? And she says, well, I just believe it.
In faith. In like faith.
Yeah. But lately, I think there's a lot of prayers that go unanswered.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's not helping.
That doesn't help at all. And then we find that.
And then, well, there's one line that says, you know, feel free to believe in God, but you got to make it okay somehow, no matter what happens. Okay for you. Mm-hmm. So.
What do you think that means?
Means that you got to be good with it for yourself, not like depending on God to make it better, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you have to deal with it on your own somehow and deal with that.
So then we find out that Carl is awake and the first thing that comes out of his mouth is when he's talking about the deer that he saw in the woods the night, mm-hmm. the day he got shot. And then he goes into a seizure mm-hmm. and then they freak out. Mm-hmm. And then Rick goes to Lori and discusses saying, see, he should have a chance to survive because he didn't talk about the fact that he got shot or
whatever.
What's all the bad that's happening, but he talked about the good thing he saw.
Yeah, so that's Rick is holding on to that and say, see, look, there is some future because Carl is not, it's not as bad as you think. Carl still, there's still some good that Carl is grabbing onto, like the deer.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, we should fight for him so there is a future basically that's different than just zombies and stuff.
Yeah, that basically there is hope for him. I mean, if you think about it, it's easier for the kid to adapt to that world because he's young, and it's harder for an older person because mm-hmm. he'll find happiness in things that an older person probably wouldn't find happiness in because their happiness is different than what a kid would be, right?
Yeah, I think adults look at kind of the big picture and kind of everything in one, whereas Carl is just looking at the moment.
Yeah.
He's living in the moment, I guess, and he's grabbing onto that good moment. But then after he said that, you know, he went into the seizure.
Which totally just counter.
It started shaking like a maniac. And
they were so worried.
Everyone's freaking out.
And the reason was that because he wasn't getting enough blood to his head. And Rick's like, well, give him blood. And he's like, you can't. If I give you any more blood, you're going to go into a coma.
And then so he gets it anyway. Yeah, so
they're running out of time, basically.
Rick is basically just draining his body of all the blood.
And it's going to waste because Carl's just not getting any better.
Yeah. And just as, so then they decide, okay, do we do it or not? And then they just say, okay, let's do it. Let's do it even without the drugs.
Yeah.
And the tools. And just as they were going to get the table and everything ready.
Just when he's going to do the incision, Shane rolls up in the truck and saves the day, basically. He has the medication, he has the respirator and all that. And they go right immediately into saving Carl. But they're like, everyone's like, well, where's Otis? And Shane's like, he didn't make it. And we don't see what happened just yet.
Everybody's just standing around dumbfounded. And then they basically say, you know, don't tell
Patricia.
Patricia, who's
Otis's
helping.
Wife, I guess.
Otis's wife, who's helping with the surgery.
And yeah, because Hershel says, well, I still need her to complete this. I don't want her to fall apart, basically.
Yeah. And Shane is like stumbling, and, you know, saying, well, he didn't make it and, you know, whatever.
Yeah, he told me to go and the walkers were after him. And we also finally, Dale gives Andrea her gun back and basically says, it's not right for me to take something that is yours. Just make sure I don't regret this.
Yeah, back at the RV when Andrea and Daryl come back.
Yeah.
They come back in one piece and
without Sophia.
Yeah, of course.
And Carol goes back in the RV crying. And he asks her if she forgives him. And she says, I'm trying.
Yeah.
So there's hope there for the relationship between them.
And Maggie is crying because Otis is gone.
After, obviously, after that they fix up Carl and everything and he's stable.
And basically goes through and describes to Glenn all the people that she's lost, stepbrother, stepmother, who became walkers. So there was a short scene there where, you know, Maggie's kind of confessing to Glenn.
Reflecting and all that.
So there's a lot of, I noticed in this episode, there's a lot of back and forth, like jumping between scenes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jumping between scenes and a lot of, you know, moments of reflection and thinking and deep thought.
Yeah, even though it was like short scenes, they packed a lot of information in there about what the characters are feeling about everything, which I thought was really good.
Mm-hmm. And finally, they tell Patricia about Otis, and she collapses and starts crying and stuff. And Shane's looking on.
And I'm like, why are you in there right now? Like, geez, do you want to get yelled at by Patricia or whatever? And he goes up to where Carl is sleeping, and Lori's in there, and she basically just says, stay, to Shane.
Uh-huh.
Which means, because previously in a couple episodes before, Shane wanted to leave the group and just head out, and Andrea wanted to come with him. And basically, Lori just said, stay.
Yeah.
Because in a way, he convinced her by saving her son that, you know, you were worth being in the group. Worth it.
Yeah.
And then we go to...
So then Shane is... Then it jumps back to the shower scene, right?
And then it goes back to the shower scene, which started from the beginning of...
Oh, by the way, they give Shane Otis's old clothes.
Oh my God. I was like, well, you'll know why that is really awkward, because we find out what happened between Shane and Otis right before they made it. And it turns out that they were running and they were trying to make it to the car, and they were really tired because both of them were injured and they didn't know who would make it. They'll never make it in time because the horde is following them. So Shane made this split second decision to shoot Otis in the leg, incapitate him, and basically run away and leave him there, which is like the classic thing, which I find is really classic because...
What is classic? Did I interrupt you?
Yes, you interrupted me. I forgot what I was going to say. Which I find is very interesting because anytime me and my friends are talking about, or my friends and I are talking about, you know, what would you do in a zombie apocalypse? They would say, well, if we were in a zombie apocalypse together, what would you do when we're running away? And I'll say, I'll just shoot you and leave you to die. That's our friendship right there. And it's kind of funny because that's exactly what Shane did. He basically cut Otis off and left him there.
Yeah, I think this is it's one of the most important scenes of the second season, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very pivotal scene.
At least for Shane.
For Shane and everyone, because it kind of drives the whole season in a different direction.
Yeah, like humanity and actually...
Well, yeah. First of all, so we can talk a lot about this because... Okay, so there's two people. They're running away from zombies. They're both injured.
Uh-huh.
They're crippled. And the zombies are gaining. They only have a few bullets left.
Sorry, I know. The explanation I gave was like a terrible explanation.
No, it's good.
You were distracting me.
It's good. But I just want to emphasize the fact that the kind of situation they were in, right? And hovering over their heads, well, mostly Shane's, was the fact that if they don't come out of this with the medicines, then Carl will die.
Yeah.
So this is what's sitting in his head.
That we have to make it.
No matter what, at all costs. Like, he has to save Carl, right? Because that's kind of... his mission right there, like,
is to prove to Lori and the rest of them.
If he doesn't make it back with the medicines and Carl dies, that's basically he's failed.
Yeah.
Everything, like, it's he's failed in life. Like, he's failed. This is like the moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's very important no matter what. And also, Shane is a little weird. Like, he's a little psychotic.
Even beforehand.
Yeah, and he's kind of been suppressing that.
And it kind of finally came out.
And basically... he just turned to Otis and said, I'm sorry, and then just shot him in the leg.
And left him there. But there was a struggle because Otis is holding on to Shane.
Yeah, Otis is fighting for his life because he didn't kill him. He just shot his leg.
Yeah, so he was grabbing onto Shane's hair and ripped off a piece.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
he was fighting. He was kicking and fighting. And, you know, Shane had to basically kick him in the head a couple of times or something. And then, so there was a struggle. It's not like, it wasn't clean, like he just shot and ran away. Otis fought for his life, and then he grabbed a piece of Shane's hair, ripped his hair off.
And that's why...
So it was messy, right?
And that's why Shane shaved his head, because there was evidence that there was struggle, because there was a bald spot on his head.
Yeah.
However, and he was trying to forget it, so that was kind of the process.
I think it was more a personal thing. He didn't want any memories of that moment.
Exactly.
It wasn't to hide anything, because if someone said, oh, you're bald there in that spot, he would say, oh, it's like a zombie grabbed it.
Yeah.
Right? He could have just excused it.
I think it was just symbolizing him trying to forget what happened.
It was like cleansing himself.
Exactly. Because later on, when Shane is teaching Andrea how to use a gun, or talking about it, the value of having a gun, he talks about...
Well, that's in another episode.
Oh.
That's what happens when you walk two episodes back to back.
Okay, well, I'll stop there.
That's what we did. We watched two of them together. So Shane's basically in the bathroom trying to find whatever he can scrounge
up. And he basically changes right there. That's his changing moment. That is where that character dramatically changed into a whole different character. No longer are we seeing the Shane that wants to do everything to protect Lori and Carl and respects Rick. I think that we've seen a turning point, and now he's kind of just trying to cover up what happened, and we'll see what else happens with his character.
We'll see. So that was the end of the episode. So how did you like that?
I really liked this episode. I think this is my favorite episode for Shane because he changed so much. I kind of thought of it as Shane's episode. I don't know.
The coming out of Shane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think of the episode?
I liked it too. You know, there was a lot of jumping between different people and different conversations. But I think the main kind of thread was, you know, saving Carl, and Shane had to do it basically. And getting that done, and Carl saved to live another day.
Well, what would you do in that situation though? If you were out going for supplies and you were with Otis or whatever, like, would you shoot Otis?
I probably wouldn't. I don't know how far the car was away, but it didn't seem like they couldn't make it. It looks like they could have made it to the car.
I know.
I don't know. Yeah. I would have still walked some more until the zombies got a little closer.
Yeah. And then just, I would just say...
Because the zombies were kind of far away. I mean, they weren't that close, but...
Because when they were fighting, when they were struggling after he shot him, the zombies still hadn't approached them.
Yeah, but they caught up quite quickly.
I would have just kept going until Otis fell.
I would have kept going and basically hoping that Otis would fall on his own.
Exactly. And are hoping that Otis would say, you know, go on without me.
Does that make it even better? I don't know. But if Otis fell on his own and he couldn't get up and he started being bitten, then I would have just taken off.
But then you would feel bad because you think, oh, I could have done something.
No, but at least I didn't do it. I didn't kill him. He just, you know, he just wasn't up to snuff. He just couldn't handle it, right?
Yeah.
At least I would have felt better. I was like, hey, you know, every man for themselves. He couldn't run. Sorry.
You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, but like, I wouldn't go out of my way to kill him or like wound him so that he could be zombie bait.
Although that's typically what he should have done. Like, I think that was right. I think.
So you think he did the right thing by shooting him?
I don't know. It's really delicate. And if you were surviving.
Just say it like it is. Don't sugarcoat it. That's what you would have done, wouldn't you?
I would have done that, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm just going to straight up say, yes, I would have done that. I think that was the right decision for him to do. And the repercussions, he's just going to have to live with the consequences.
Yeah. Well, as we see later on, he lives with them.
Yeah. He basically had to do what he had to do. So just get over it. He basically had to do what he had to do.
Yeah. I think only Shane could have done that.
But I think...
Like if it was Rick in that position, he wouldn't have shot him.
I know. No way.
He would have like carried him on his back or something.
And died trying to save him.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Well, that's the end of the episode.
Yeah. That's the end of this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Please share this podcast with your friends, and if you really enjoyed it, and leave comments on our Facebook page and tell us what you think about it. You can find us on Facebook, the Walking Dead Girl podcast, and visit our website, thewalkingdeadgirl.com too, and tell us what you think. And I guess, also we're going to be putting 2 episodes a week.
We're trying to catch up.
Yeah, we're trying to catch up to season 4 in October, right?
Yeah, we'll see how we go.
Yeah. So there will be one every Sunday and maybe Wednesdays?
Yeah.
So twice a week.
We'll try to make them twice a week so that way we can catch up.
Double the fun.